Before we begin our Torah study this morning, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. We say together, Amen. I want to talk to you about how to strengthen your heart in the Lord and how to find his peace, his love, his stability in unstable times. We're living in uncertain times, are we not? We wake up wondering what will the news be today and what will happen today that could potentially disturb everything. In the midst of challenge and difficulty, we need to be encouraged because our hearts need to be touched, and we need to be able to keep going until we see the fulfillment of all that God has promised. I love what Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." In the middle of difficulty, in the middle of challenge and uncertainty and instability, it's easy to get stirred up and forget that the Lord is the Lord. Listen to what he says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is God's ultimate plan, and he will fulfill it. The whole earth will honor the Lord. Do you think it's ready yet? No. This world still needs some change, and it still needs help. Our hearts need to be helped as well, because we need to keep in focus what God's faithfulness really means to us, what his word to us means, and what his plans mean to us. And as we're reading in the Torah portion this week, we see that Jacob needed something. He needed some stability. He needed some hope for his future. He needed some vision for what was ahead. And the Lord knew that, and that's why the Lord came to him in order to give him what he needed for the future. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. Can I see your Bibles if you have one? Paper Bibles up? Good. Digital Bibles? How many digitals do we have? Wow, they're everywhere. It's incredible. I've got both. Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10. It says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran." This is the land of his forefathers, his ancestors. "And he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of that place, he put it at his head, he laid down in that place to sleep, and then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood." Now, the best translation, I believe, of this is this: the Lord stood next to him. Some translations say the Lord stood above the ladder, but even Samuel Hertz, Rabbi Hertz, says the more correct translation is the Lord stood next to him. And that's an important detail, because it indicates something that has escaped much of the modern mind, especially the Jewish mind, and that is that God can be present, he can be materially present, he can be physically present with us. He came down, he walked with Adam. He came down, he revealed himself to Abraham. He revealed himself to Isaac, and now he's revealing himself to Jacob. And this is not to be allegorized or made into something purely spiritual. This is a reflection of the reality of God, that God can come down. And in order to communicate that to us even more clearly, Torah in later on in Exodus tells us that when Moses was standing on Mount Sinai, the Lord descended from heaven and stood next to him. The Hebrew is explicitly clear, and it's meant to be understood in the most simple of ways. The Lord stood next to Moses. So this is a challenge to some modern Jewish thinking. which says the thinks of God or conceives of God purely in immaterial ways, knowing that he's the creator, knowing that he's, in a sense, above and beyond and outside the universe, but forgetting that he can enter into the universe, and he can enter into our world, and he can make himself known, and he can make himself visible. So Isaac dreamed, behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. Its top reached to heaven. The angels of the Lord were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood next to him and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I have spoken to you. The Lord not only was present, he spoke. And he was speaking, I believe, to Jacob's heart, not just to his mind, but to his heart as well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. And we have the capacity to love God with our heart and also to love God with our mind. That's why we can have intelligent faith, because we see God at work and we can understand what he's doing. He wants us to understand in some way his purposes, his plans, and what he intends to do, so that when he does it, we can recognize he's actually doing what he revealed. So the Lord spoke and he said, I am with you. Now some of us need to hear that word from the Lord. How many of you know the Lord is with you? That's why you're never afraid. That's why you're never anxious. That's why you're never wondering, how are things going to turn out? Because the Lord is with you. You know, we can know abstractly that the Lord is with us and then forget in the midst of difficulty or challenge that he's actually with us. And we can, in our spiritual amnesia, we can become unstable ourselves. How is it that our worry can be stronger than our faith? It happens when we forget how faithful God is to us and how committed he is to being with us. The Lord is speaking to Jacob's heart, and Jacob is in the midst of great difficulty and instability. He's got conflict with his brother. He's now going back to the land of his grandfather, his forefathers, Abraham, and he's going back to a place of uncertainty. He's looking for a wife and trusting the Lord that he will find a wife, but he also has his whole future ahead of him, but it's an uncertain future. Will he be able ever to return to the land where he was born and the land he grew up in? Will he ever be able to continue in the heritage of his father and his grandfather and see blessing and children and descendants come to him? Well, the Lord is speaking to him and says, your descendants will be numerous. They're going to expand. They're going to spread out, or they're going to break through, the Hebrew says. And the Lord says to Jacob, I'll be with you, I'll protect you, and I'll bring you back. I will do everything I promise. This is an important word also for you and for me, because the experiences that we read about that the patriarchs have, that the children of Israel have, that the Talmudim of Yeshua have, these are experiences that will be repeated in different ways in our lives as well. You and I will have challenges where we're wondering about our own future and the uncertainties and the challenges that we're facing. How many of you can identify with that? That there are challenges in your life, and just based on rational thought, you don't know how they're going to turn out. But based on the things that God has done in your heart and the things that you perceive because of the Lord's faithfulness, you can have a sense of hope. You can have a sense of vision. You can have a sense of a future of good. It says that in verse 16, Jacob woke up from his sleep, and he said, "Truly, the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. The Lord is here, and I didn't realize it." I think that can be our own response. We can be in situations where God is present with us, and we didn't even know it. This is Jacob's first response. God was here, but I didn't know it. It's not that Jacob had been seeking the Lord at that moment. You know, he went to sleep. Why? Because it was dark. What was his comfortable bed? The ground. And his lovely down pillow was a rock. That's enough to give you nightmares. But he had an experience of the Lord. It's not that he was really seeking the Lord. It's the Lord was seeking him. And this shows us something about the faithfulness of God and the love of God. He will pursue us. He will come after us. He will reveal himself to us. And it's very, very important what our response is to this. So Jacob woke up and his first response was, "Wow, the Lord is here and I didn't even realize it." You may come to the house of God sometimes, to the synagogue, to the sanctuary, and you've had a hard week, you've had maybe a hard day, maybe you've had a hard life, I don't know. And you may not be thinking that you're really coming into the presence of the Lord. You may look around at someone you had a quarrel with and think, life stinks. And then in the middle of worship, God gets a hold of you and you realize the Lord is here and you didn't even realize it before. And when that happens, you know what? Things can change. Have you ever been in such a difficult situation that it was hard to hold on to hope? How many can relate to that? Have you ever had a situation you knew in your spirit that it was going to work out okay eventually, but you'd been waiting so long? And nothing had changed, and things had gone maybe from bad to worse. And so as you were just looking at the reality of what you were experiencing and what you were facing, you found that your hope was just disappearing. How many have been in that experience? Or you know someone who's even going through that right now. Maybe it's a universal experience to struggle. And then a moment comes when you connect with God. It could come suddenly, it could come surprisingly, it could come at a time or place where you didn't even imagine it. But when you connect with the Lord, something changes on the inside and you get filled with hope again. How many have had that experience where you've gone from hopeless to hopeful and it was only a work of God? It's not that anyone was cheerleading you or something had changed on the outside. It's something changed on the inside. And the one who is greater than all of your troubles touched you in your heart. When that happens to us, our heart changes and we become stronger. Our hearts become bigger. When that happens, we start having renewed faith in the Lord. And when we start trusting in him, the scripture says our hearts will start overflowing with hope as we trust in him. The actual act of trusting in the Lord will cause your heart and my heart to change. It will protect us. It will renew us. And when we are filled with hope and when we're filled with faith, more things will change in our lives. When our hearts are in the right condition and our responses to God and what he's doing are in the right condition, more will happen. To the faithful, I show myself faithful, the Lord says. So when you start getting filled up with faith, don't be neutral about it. And don't just be academic about it. Oh, look, this morning I have more faith. What a surprise. Let me write that down. Jacob's first response was surprise. The Lord was here, I didn't know it. Then he became afraid, the fear of the Lord. And he said, "This place is awesome. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Verse 18, Jacob got up early in the morning. He took the stone he'd put under his head. He set it up as a monument stone. He poured olive oil on its top, and he named the place Bethel, the house of God. The town had originally been called Luz. This shows us something. God can show up. He can come and visit us in surprising places, even when we don't anticipate it. Sandy loves to iron because in that quiet time, she irons before the Lord. Now, she's a good ironer. I can't do two things at once. And it takes all my concentration to iron. I'm just not good at some of those things. To give you a clue, once I was traveling by myself, and I decided I'd wash my socks and underwear and dry them, but I was in a hurry. And so after I washed them and wrung them out, I put them in the microwave to help. And I thought, you know, they'd steam and that'd be good, but they actually caught fire. But I know there are people like me. You don't maybe experience the presence of the Lord when you're ironing, but maybe when you're taking a shower, when you're running, when you're out for a walk, when you go out in the woods. How many like to find God out in the forest or the woods or on mountains, in quiet places all away from people? Sometimes you can just be going about your business. You can even be driving. How many here like to pray or sing to the Lord when you're in your car? And when you're singing at the top of your lungs and you're stopped at a light and someone looks at you, don't you wonder what they're thinking? But you know what's going on with you. The Lord is with you at that time. God can be with us in surprising places. He can open his gates to heaven for us anywhere that we are. It's important for us to remember. It's not only here. Being here gathered together on Shabbat is an important thing to do because it's something that we can do together. But when you're by yourself, you can discover God and you can experience God as well, and it can build upon the life of faith that we have together. Now, the dream was more than a dream. It was an experience with God. That's how Jacob understood it. He didn't wake up and say, wow, that was weird. No, he woke up and said, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. Now, if it were just a regular old dream, he would not say, the Lord is here. He would say, that was a cool dream. But he understood that God had actually come down to be with him and had visited him for a purpose. And his heart reflected that. His heart was changed. He was feeling different. He was thinking differently. And all the greatest fears and needs that he had were addressed. You see, the Lord was telling him, you have a future because I'm with you. You have a future because I'm going to go with you and I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to fulfill everything that I have promised to you. I'm not going to leave you. You are going to see everything happen. Now, Jacob, in response, moved from surprise and the fear of the Lord into a positive response of faith. And I think this models something for us. As we're reading it, pay close attention, because Jacob really listened to what the Lord said, the details of what the Lord said, and then he responded to those details. The English often starts this way, if God will be with me. How many of you have that in your Bibles? If God. I don't think that really captures it because this is a response of trust and faith. It's not a response of skepticism or uncertainty. If, maybe a better English word would be since God will be with me. Since he will guard me on this road that I'm traveling, giving me bread to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I've set up as a standing stone will be God's house. And of everything you give me, I will faithfully return one-tenth to you. This is very interesting. The first part of his vow is a declaration. The second part of his communication is spoken personally to God. You, everything you give me, I will faithfully return one-tenth to you. So Jacob has this incredible understanding. I didn't even realize you were here, but now I do. And he's responding to what God has said to him, really showing that what God said touched his heart. And it's almost as if Jacob is saying, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. Looking forward to God's faithfulness. This is very important for you and for me. Because God wasn't abstract with him. He was very concrete. I'm going to do these very specific things. And then Jacob responds with concrete specificity as well. He says, because you are like this, God, and you're faithful, I'm going to be faithful in the same way. And he reviews the details. And basically, Jacob is saying, Lord, I trust you for all these details. I believe you for all these details. Sometimes I think that we can make a mistake. God shows us what he wants to do. He speaks to our hearts. He reveals in some way to our spirits, to our minds, to our understanding. He communicates to us how he's going to work and what he's going to do. And sometimes our response is just to take note of it. And we think, okay, so God says this. That's not enough. God is not just giving you information. He's revealing his faithfulness to you. What is he looking for as a response from us? Trust and faithfulness on our part. My wife and I have a habit whenever we leave each other's presence, we're going in different directions, we say to each other that we love the other one. So when I'm in a hurry and I'm leaving the house, she'll say, I love you. That's the last thing. And sometimes I'm in a hurry and I think, yeah, me too. But I just think it. But it's not enough just to think that. I say it out loud. I love you. And we say that. We're in the habit of it, of saying that. It's important to reinforce this. And when God says something to us, when he says, I'm going to do this for you, you know, sometimes we can just think, Well, I'll write it down. We'll see if it happens. Or I'll take note of it. Some people are good and they'll journal it. They'll make a permanent record so that they can refer to it. But then they become detached from God who made the promise. And they think of this promise and they think of what God said he was going to do just as information. But look at Jacob and his response. His heart was touched and that affected his mind. It stirred up hope and expectation and faith. He didn't just take note of what the Lord says. He didn't just say, oh, this is interesting. God says he's going to do these things. Huh. You know, there are people who teach in seminary who aren't believers. Some seminaries that others have called cemeteries rather than seminaries. But they're academic scholars, and they read the scriptures, but not with eyes of faith and not with hearts of faith. And they can repeat things that are in the scriptures, but their position is not a position of trust. And then there are people who are very simple, who don't know very much, but when they read the scriptures, they're filled with trust. Now, what is God looking for? He's looking for trust. Now, if we have knowledge, but we don't have trust, it's not going to work very well for us. If we have trust in God, it will cause us to seek after knowledge. Study to show yourselves approved. A workman someone who works hard to rightly handle the Word of God. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes commitment. And as we're reading, we want to engage our mind, we want to use all of our capacities, all of our faculties, our understanding of history, culture, language, but we also want to use our spirits, our minds, our hearts in service to God so that our hearts will really be touched and trust can be revealed in us. Well, Jacob doesn't just experience trust, he expresses his trust. And he says, you will be my God. You will be my God. No one else is going to be my God. He's pledging his loyalty to the Lord. And he understands that he's going to have no other God but the Lord, who is the God of his father and the God of his grandfather. It's important for you and to me to take note that Jacob is going back to the land of his forefathers, and some of his relatives are still polytheists, and some of them are idolaters, and even those who are trusting in the Lord have cultural remnants of idolatry. And you'll see that in future passages. He doesn't realize, perhaps, that his response of faith at this moment is actually going to prepare him to bless his family in the future. He doesn't know his children. He doesn't know his wife. He's never seen her. He doesn't know all the details of his future, but one thing he does know, God is with him. God will go with him and lead him and protect him and guide him. God will bring him back, and he will be faithful to his Lord. That's what he knows. So Jacob has a positive response, and he expresses that to the Lord. When you and I are in the midst of life's challenges, difficulties, and uncertainties, we need to decide what our response is to the Lord. We need to examine how we're expressing our trust to the Lord. And I can tell you this, as you speak your trust to the Lord, it will grow. If you keep silent, you'll waste away. But when you start speaking to the Lord and you engage him, your hope will build up. Your faith will get stronger. Love expressed and faith expressed are very different than love just thought about or faith just thought about. We have to, yes, engage our minds, but we have to also engage our hearts. And what we're seeing in Jacob's response is his heart is really engaged. He says, I'm going to become a tither too. I'll return one-tenth to you. Everything you give me, I'll faithfully return one-tenth to you. He's expressing a concrete response. His heart is getting bigger. He's enlarging. He's becoming stronger because his response when he sees God at work is to agree with God, is to set his own soul, his spirit, in unison with the Lord. He's allowing his inner person to be in right relationship with the Lord. He takes notice of the Lord, but it's not just objective notice. He does more than that because, you know, if he just wrote it down, if he just said, yeah, this happened, it's not the same as taking something to heart. God is not indifferent about you. And so we can't just be indifferent about him. God's not just objective about you. Oh, you exist. You're a person. That's good. You're a person. No, he loves you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows thoughts that you're having even before they can be articulated with your very mouth. He sees you. He cares about you. And he expresses himself to you so that you can receive that love, because when you receive it, when you receive the love, you're not just aware of it, but you receive it, it changes you. How does the heart change? We start receiving the Lord. When we think of receive, it's not just a neutral or passive thing. It's an active engagement. It means to welcome. When the Lord comes and he gives you something and we welcome him for coming, we welcome what he gives us, when we respond in that way, that changes our heart and it changes the way we think. It changes what we do next. So receiving is a very active process. It requires full engagement. Many times here in the synagogue, I've encouraged husbands to turn to their wives and smile and say, "I believe you exist." And you'll notice all the women have the same response. You're like, "Are you cuckoo? Yeah. Why would you say that? Is that all you can say?" And then, guys, if you turn to your wife, you look her in the eye, you touch her pretty cheek. Ooh. You touch her cheek and you say to her, "I love you. I adore you. You mean the world to me." And you watch what happens in her eyes. Go ahead, try it. I dare you. When you do that, you'll see her brighten up. When you have time with the Lord and you say, "I believe you exist, amen." I think the Lord is saying, "That's it? That's it? That's all you got to say?" But when you say, "Lord, I love you. I know that the things that you said you're going to do, you will do. I don't just see this world through the lens of the newscast I just watched on TV or read about. I see the future in terms of what you say. And I know this, you say, 'Be still and know that I am the Lord.' And so I trust you, Lord. I will be still in your presence. I will be quiet because I trust you. And from that place of quiet, I will learn what to do. And I will be able to go out with peace and do everything that you've called me to do with peace in my heart and in my mind." You see, when you get something from the Lord, when he's trying to touch your heart, let him touch your heart. Don't just leave it as an emotional response. This is not charismania. You're like, "Ooh, I had a great experience." Or, "Oh, we went to services and I fell down. It was so great." We used to say, "It doesn't matter if you fall down. What matters is when you get up, what's happened? What's changed?" Our hearts become stronger. We become more capable of love and hope and faith when we're trusting in the Lord. I'll give you an example. Antonio and I went down to prison last week. Many of you prayed. I told you a little bit about it. And before I tell you that, what happened, let's thank the Lord for the healing in Antonio's eyes. He had a procedure for a torn retina, and it's repaired. He's doing well. So Antonio and I went down to be a spiritual advisor to a man on death row who will be executed soon, in the near future. And as we were preparing for that, we were each praying and considering what did God want to do. And we understood that we needed to bring him a message of the gift of repentance that leads to life. True remorse for the crimes that will cost him his life. And while we were preparing, I also had people praying for us. And many people were praying for our safety. And I thank you for that. We're glad for that. And there was a moment the days before we went when I was thinking about safety and all that can happen, you know, in a situation like that. And I was just thanking the Lord because I understood that the enemy wanted to use fear to deprive us of our faith. And he wanted the fear to distort everything so that we would be more afraid of fear than we would be servants to the Lord and his purposes. And so we had to pray, and as we were praying, I know that the Lord gave me strength so that I didn't have the spirit of fear. But there's another spirit that God gives us. What's the nature of that spirit? The Holy Spirit? power, love, self-control, a sound mind. His Spirit in us works that way. It's not that we're instantly changed. It's that He in us works to change us from the inside out. So Antonio and I went to prison, and we had this appointment. We had to go through all the security clearances through the gates. It's a sobering process just to go into a prison and to visit someone who's on death row. I have to tell you that. So we're taken into an inner room that has a series of barred gates, you know, security controls in order to get there. And then we are together with this man by ourselves in this room. We're sitting at a table, a relatively small table, Antonio and I on one side sitting together, and he's on the other side, and he is handcuffed, shackled with special stuff. So his hands are together like this, but he's able to like turn them in such a way that he can shake our hand, we can say hello to him. His feet, his legs are shackled as well with chains. And yet he's not shackled to the table or the floor. And so we understand that he can move. We have deep communication with him, and it really is a move of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you agree that the Lord was really moving there? And we were speaking to him about humbling himself before the Lord, and he was receiving this in a way he had not before. It was very interesting. There was this strong move, and then guess what happened? All the power in the prison went off, and the room we were in was totally black. Long enough that we could imagine everything that could happen. About a minute, yeah. I couldn't rationally tell you how long it was. I'm glad you could. But I can tell you, every movie I've seen, that could have fueled my imagination, it activated my thought process. And I had many thoughts. It went on long enough that we really had time to think through, okay, what's going to happen? Afterwards, Antonio and I were reviewing the situation, and for the life of us, we could not understand how we could be in that place and there were not battery-powered emergency lights that would come on immediately. But there weren't. And so in the dark, with this man convicted of two murders, guilty of both, facing execution in the very near future, we're sitting there. Now, to his credit, he spoke something. I don't remember the exact words, but it was something to reassure us that he wasn't jumping up and going to do something. I don't remember the exact words. But in any case, we're all sitting there imagining what could happen. Can you imagine the kinds of things that could happen in that situation? Yeah, so I imagined everything. I remembered movie scenes, escapes, attacks, everything from the Bourne series, James Bond, you know, every prison escape scene I'd ever seen, it all sort of came back to me. When the lights came back on, you know what we did? We got out of there. No. No, we just picked up where we were and we kept going. And we understood that the Holy Spirit had been moving. The Holy Spirit wanted to continue to move. Afterwards, when we were driving home, I said to Antonio, "So how did you feel during that time?" And he said, "I felt peaceful." And I said to him, "I also felt peaceful." Which is strange, because my mind was thinking about everything that could happen, but my heart was at peace. My spirit was at peace. Why? Because the Lord was with us. He had prepared us. He enlarged our hearts in a way only He can do. It's not because we thought, I'm not afraid. No, it's because we thought the Lord is with us. What a situation we're in. But the Lord is with us. When the Lord says, don't fear, He's giving us help. He doesn't mean get all the self-control you possibly can. What He means is welcome my Holy Spirit, because He'll give you power. He'll give you self-control. He'll give you a sound mind, and He in you is mighty. Imagine what would have happened if we were just terrified. And as soon as the lights caught on, we looked at this guy, we said, it ain't worth it. We're out of here. We wouldn't have finished the day's assignment from the Lord. And the Lord had more to do to touch his heart and his mind, and still has more to do. So when we go back there, we're not going to say, I'm taking a flashlight. And I'll tell you why. They won't let us take a flashlight in. We'll go back in, prayed up. Faithful, full of faith, trusting the Lord who started and will finish. Not one word of His will return unfulfilled. Jacob's heart was expanded. It became stronger. And I want to show you evidence of this. It's in Genesis chapter 29, verse 20. Now, you know, when Jacob got to his destination, he met this woman. Rachel was her name. She was the daughter of one of his relatives, and he had an amazing response to her. He wanted to marry her and went to her father, and he agreed but said, it will cost you 7 years of work. Look at Genesis 29, verse 20, because I think this is the most romantic verse in the whole Bible, in my opinion. So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed only a few days to him because he was so much in love with her. Isn't that a great thing? And this is more than love at first sight. This is love with a commitment, love that's willing to pay a price. Jacob valued Rachel. He not only had the emotion associated with love, he had the actions associated with love. And he gave 7 years of his labor for her, and he said, it's like a few days. It's just like a few days for me. You see, his heart had been changed. He knew God was with him. He knew that he had a hope and a future. He knew that he was going to return to the land of Abraham and Isaac. He was going to fulfill the very calling that God had in his life. And his heart developed. His faith and his faithfulness grew and developed together. Faith and faithfulness are so fascinating. They keep company with hope and with love. When we have faith in God and we're faithful to God because He is faithful, hope starts growing in us. Love starts growing in us. We become more capable of loving. And these all work together. They build our commitment. They build our perseverance. They also build our purity before the Lord. Jacob was changed. He started loving. He started committing. He started having singleness of mind because the Lord is like that. He became more like the Lord. He was transformed and became more godly. Not just more religious, but more godly. The Lord loves us. It's important to know this. The Lord takes note of us. He cares for us. He's concerned for us. He wants to strengthen our hearts. And when He gives us something, when He speaks to us or opens up something, our response of faith will actually enlarge our hearts. And if we're just neutral or indifferent or academic or informational about it, you know what? It won't change us at all. Yeshua loves us. And he values us too. And he gave more than 7 years of labor for us. He gave up his very life for us. Such great love. No greater love has this than that one laid down his life for his friends. That's what he taught us. Now, our response to this love will determine the impact it actually has on our inner person. When we respond and we respond positively and actively, we don't just think about the reality of it, but we let that process touch our hearts as well. And we respond and we say, Lord, I love you too. Lord, I know you're faithful. I want to be faithful to you. Lord, you're good to me. I want to reflect that goodness to other people. Lord, you've done so much to protect me. I want to look out for others who need protection. You see, our hearts become stronger in the same way that Jacob became stronger. Now, here's the secret. You never know how one moment will touch the next moment. You never know how a response to an encounter with the Lord, even in a dream, will change your heart and prepare you for the future. Who knows if Jacob had just been neutral and then he'd gone and he'd seen Rachel and heard 7 years, he might have said, I'll look for someone else. But his heart, the love in his heart, the commitment was enlarged because he'd already responded to God's love in an active and a positive way. I believe that for many people in this room, there's something bright ahead for you, and it will become available to you if your response is active to the Lord. If you're neutral or indifferent or skeptical or uncertain, you may not get any of the blessings that God has for you. But if you actively respond to what he said to you and you start lining up your actions, your thoughts, your emotions, your heart will get stronger. And you know what? You will see the hand of God. You will see the work of God. You will see a move of God in your life and the fulfillment of all that God has said for you. So I want to pray for everybody who wants their own hearts to get stronger and their own responses to be more active and strong towards the Lord. If that's you, you can stand up or you can just say to the Lord, I'm standing up on the inside. I want to pray for you because I know that God wants to do great things. He wants to fulfill. He wants to complete. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who speaks and makes it come to pass. And you are the one who shows yourself faithful to the people who are full of faith and live with faith. And we want to say this, Lord, you are our God. You are our salvation. And the love you showed to us by giving up your life, by taking on all the suffering and even the penalty for our sin, this love that you showed us touches our hearts. And we thank you. Thank you for your sacrificial love. We want to live for you. We want to be filled up with faith and with trust. We want to overflow with hope. And we know, Lord, as you enlarge our hearts, we'll be able to do the things you call us to do. We thank you for your shalom that is greater than our understanding. We thank you for your blessings, which are greater than the challenges that we face. And we thank you for your ultimate purposes, which you will accomplish through Messiah Yeshua. And everything that you've said will come to pass. Lord, we want to be single-minded and single-hearted towards you so that we can be as strong in you as possible. Thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit, who makes us strong in you, and through whom we put off that spirit of fear. And we put on, we welcome, we receive the Holy Spirit, the spirit of power and love and a sound mind and self-control. Thank you for your grace, which is more than sufficient for us. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. And then afterwards, we're going to pass around challah. And you can stick around and Have a little challah, greet each other with Shabbat Shalom. And I encourage people who are on the parking lot side to walk all the way to the lakeside area and greet somebody. I know there's a great gulf that separates you, but you will be able to do it. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichanecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep watch over you and protect you, the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, the Lord show you all of his favor, the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.